News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very good. Can I begin with your view on events recently? Because I see you quoted as saying that you felt sorry, or that you feel sorry for Keir Starmer. Not the slightest bit of schadenfreude, do you feel?
Well, I think when somebody's up against it, one obviously thinks through positions you've been in and how difficult it is. But then the other side of it is that Keir Starmer's government was elected on what we can only describe as a loveless landslide in Britain, and has now proceeded with basically continuing with Tory austerity, with a few changes here on the edges, but on the international stage has been lamentable in speaking up for the human rights of Palestinians, or indeed other people around the world, and presiding now over a massive increase in arms expenditure, rather than being a government dedicated to try and bring an end to the dreadful conflicts around the world. So I feel very sad and very disappointed for the way in which the Labour Party has behaved in government, and the way the Labour Party has behaved towards its own members. When I ceased to be leader of the Labour Party in 2020, there were close to 600,000 members. They don't even publish the membership figures now, but I'm guessing it's well south of 200,000, maybe even less than that. They had some truly terrible local election results, and we now have the growth of the far right in Britain. And Labour's in government seems to think the way to defeat the far right in Britain is to concede ground to them on refugees, on immigration, and so much more. You have to stand.
Can I ask you on that, Jeremy? The twofold question. On the one hand, to what extent do you fear the rise of the far right? How significant do you think they are? How significant do you think reform will be in the next general? And to your own issue, or your own point, how do you defeat them, if not by giving territory?
Well, you defeat them by uniting communities to achieve something better. If you're up against it, bad housing, overcrowded housing, expensive housing, inadequate income, having to access food banks in order just to make ends meet in modern Britain, and at the same time you see a exponential growth in the personal wealth of the very wealthiest, a growth of the billionaire class, and you see growing inequality all around you, is the answer to blame people of a different colour, who come from a different country, from a different background, for your problems? Or is the answer to do something about it, like politically change the way in which decisions are made and change the direction of travel of the country? Reform turn up in any place where there's a problem, offer a blame culture, which is nasty and dangerous and ends up being violent often against the most vulnerable people in our society, or do you give people that sense of hope? And
the reform approach, whether or not it may be the ideal one from your perspective, it does seem to be working politically, though, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't, because where reform have gained control of local authorities, and they do have quite a few, the two things seem to happen. One is that many of their councillors are completely unprepared for it, and then don't even go into any further preparation. So they haven't got a clue what they're doing, don't understand the structures, not interested in it. And some of them just simply disappear. Or they think the whole thing about being in local authorities is the flags you put up outside the town hall rather than what you actually do. And in some cases, they are making quite vicious cuts against voluntary sector organisations and social care and so on. So I don't think the experience in local government is going to stand them in good stead coming a future election. There's also a big dispute within the far right between Reform and now the growth of Restore, which, if anything, are even further to the right, and then the activities of their friends on the street, led by Stephen Yaxley Lennon, who also calls himself Tommy Robinson, and the violence that emanates whenever his group turn up on demonstrations. And so I think there's some difficult days ahead. But unless the rest of the community stand up against the racism that's in sight at the moment, and the government stops its endless attack on people that have migrated to Britain. I mean, think of this one. They're trying to take away or limit the indefinite leave to remain provision, which is there in immigration law. Take that away. I'm not quite sure how many people are affected, but it is thousands who work for Transport for London. It is people in every single hospital in the whole country. It is an unbelievably short-sighted and unpleasant decision. And the stress that I hear from my constituents who thought they had permanent right of residence in Britain now find it being under threat. It's
I'm conscious, Jeremy, just of time. So two other areas I'd like your view on. One is in respect of the whole Mandelson issue, because while there were problems for the government, what seems to have catalysed the ultimate, the start of the fall for Keir Starmer was the revelations in respect of Mandelson. And I read a conversation that was attributed to you and Tony Benn way back when Mandelson was originally beginning his climb, and you saying that this man needed to be watched. Can you get to the heart of the bit that I don't understand in this is, regardless of what vetting was done, regardless of the process around it, how did anybody think he was right for the ambassadorship?
Well, that is the whole question. I remember when Mandelson first appeared, brought in by Neil Kinnock in 1987, Tony Benn saying to me, "This guy will do us no good at all. He has a totally different agenda." Mandelson then became incredibly influential in the Labour Party under Kinnock. Even more, John Smith wouldn't have anything to do with him, so he had a while out of the way until poor John died. And we then had Blair, in which Mandelson was in their centre stage. Blair was forced to sack him twice from government, Gordon Brown once. And I would have thought that alone would be enough to raise some question marks. And then Starmer comes up with this idea that Mandelson would be the ideal ambassador to the USA, pushes it through relentlessly, despite apparently all his advisors saying there are dangers involved in here, there are red flags here, don't do it. Mandelson carries on having this relationship with his company, which had been promoting Palantir and others, carries on indeed having a commercial interest, as I understand it, in Palantir, even after he'd become ambassador to Washington, and takes Starmer to a private meeting with Palantir while he's there. Well, goodness, what on earth were they thinking of? Why was Mandelson allowed anywhere near being ambassador to Washington?
I assume were you in that role, you would never have given it any consideration.
Absolutely none whatsoever. And indeed, when I became leader, as is well on the record, there were many people well on the right of the Labour Party who put me under enormous pressure. They said, what you need to do is bring in Mandelson, bring in Alistair Campbell, bring in the team that won under Blair, and you'll be fine. And I said, no, absolutely no way will I bring any of those people in because of Iraq, because of their attitude, and basically because of their agenda, which is one of neoliberal economics and privatising public services. And so absolutely no way.
Can I ask you one final thing, which is Wes Streeting across has brought the issue of the UK's former membership and possibly future membership of the European Union back into sharp focus as a function of the upcoming Labour leadership campaign. In a word, do you see a realistic prospect of the UK in the short to medium term returning to the EU?
I don't see it rejoining the EU. What I do want and hope is that we have a more intelligent relationship with the EU, with much easier trade and much easier forms of travel, which will obviously help a great deal in the relationship with Ireland. I don't think the EU would want Britain back in. I also have deep concerns about both the economic and the foreign policy direction of the EU, which is turning itself sadly into, or trying to turn itself into a quasi-military power.
Jeremy, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Jeremy Corbyn, who is MP for Islington North and London, and of course, parliamentary leader of your party. Thanks as well to the team on the show, our editor, Aisling Moore, programme editor, Emer Bradley, producers, Dara Faulkner, Aisling Lynch and Ellen Kenny, researchers, Cian Burns and Shanna Cole, Anne-Marie Kane was our broadcast assistant, and Cormac McDonough was on the sound desk in the control room.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.